We're going to learn Daf Samach Zayin in Masechtas Nedarim. However, we are going to start from the bottom line on Samach Vav Amud Beis, which is the beginning of the Mishnah for the new Parak, Parak Nairo Murasa. So, just before we even start, as we'll see the Psukim in a moment, but the Psukim on this Parsha seem, if you're not paying attention, when you're listening to the Kriya and you're not paying attention, it seems that the Psukim keep on repeating themselves. But actually, it seems like the same case over and over again. But actually, we're talking about three different stages. As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, there's the stage where you have a girl when she's young, when she's still in her father's house, and the fact that her father's able to make for the Nedarim. Then, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to uncover for us, then we have a stage where the girl gets engaged, an Arusa, or Erisin, meaning just Kedushin without Nisuin. There's that stage where, as we'll see, the halacha is, and that's the point of this Mishnah, that both the father and the Arus are able to be made for her Nedarim. Then you have the next stage that the Pasuk is referring to. You have the next stage that the Pasuk is referring to where she then gets married, and now she's completely and entirely in her husband's Rishus. She's not in her father's house or connected, so to speak, to her father at all. And then you even have the part where after she is no longer married and she tries to go back to her father's house, then nobody's able to be made for her Nedarim. Then she's, so to speak, independent. She's emancipated because she's no longer in her father's house because she already got married, and she's no longer in her husband's house because she got divorced or he died. And she goes back to her father. When she goes back to her father, she doesn't actually literally go back into her father's house. Now, as you see the first word in the parak starts with the word Naira Hamurasa. So what is a Naira? A Naira is a girl between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half. Under the age of 12, she is considered a katana. Over the age of 12 and a half, she is considered a bageres. So, this Mishnah is specifically talking about a naira. Now, not to be confused with the fact that she could theoretically get married when she is younger than that. And we'll talk about what would happen if she's engaged during that period of time where she gets engaged younger than that. But certainly the concept of her making a neder under the age of 12 is possible. Again, not our sugya, not what we're going to focus on today, but it is definitely possible for a girl to make a neder, and if in the simple case, not when she's 3 years old, but when she's more like 11 years old or whatever, then she can make a neder. And then, if she's not engaged, then it's only her father. If she's married, it would only be her husband. And so on and so forth. But, for purposes of simplicity's sake, we're gonna follow what the Mishnah is saying, so let's get into it. So that's what we need to know for background without actually reading the Psukim themselves. So, the Mishnah starts right at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Naira Amurasa. So again, as we said, a Naira is a girl between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. And Murasa means she's engaged but not married. Now, when we say engaged, we don't mean like today's engagement. We mean that she had kedushin. So then the halacha is avia ubailo mefirin nidareha. So the way to read this correctly is that both her father and her husband have the right and must be made for the neder in order for the chalois hafara to be chal. Now, also just for terminology purposes, you should understand that there is a difference between hafara and heter. When you go, when let's say, just simplicity's sake, you have a man who makes a neder, and he wants to undo his neder, he goes to a rav, and the rav is matir. He's matir the neder. As opposed to hafara, the concept of hafara only applies to either a husband to a wife, or a father to a daughter. That's a hafara. And hafara works as if the neder was never made. And again, I don't want to get too far into this, but the idea is that she only made the neder with their haskama. If they don't have their haskama, then it's not a neder. It's like me saying, I don't know whether or not I want to make a neder. So then you don't have a neder until you know for sure that you do have a neder. So that's what a hafara is. And in the context of a husband and wife, you have to be careful when the husband says, I don't want the neder, that he uses the lashon hafer, that he's mafer the neder, not mater the neder. Okay, so the terminology is important over here. Okay, a little bit of a sidetrack, but here, back to the point over here. The point is that it's both the father and the husband have to partake in the hafara to undo the neder by a girl who's, again, bas mitzvah, but only engaged. And therefore, now on the top of Asam Zayin and Aleph, the Mishnah continues, Hefer ha'av v'loy hefer ha'bal. If, let's say, just the father did the hafara, but the husband did not, or the other way around, hefer ha'bal, or just the husband did the hafara, v'loy hefer ha'av, and the father did not, einai mufar. So the Mishnah really spells it out very very clearly what the case is. And then the Mishnah says that even a third time to drive the point home, ve'ein tzarech loymer shekayim echod mehen. And we don't even have to discuss what would happen if the one of them says, I want the neder to be chal. I want the neder to be good. So, then for sure, there's not going to be a hafar anymore. So the Pashta says, when this last case, if we're talking about in the last case where they say explicitly or expressly that they want the neder to be chal, that means in the other cases till now, when we say ene mefer, we're talking about where they let it by default become a good neder. So, one more clarification, as again, all of this will come to light in the Gemara, not necessarily in today's Gemara, but all of this will come to light in the Gemara. And that is, there's two ways that when a girl let's just talk about a wife, it's easier. When a wife makes a neder and the husband has the right to be mefer, there's two ways he could, so to speak, let the neder go through. Either one way he can let it go through is by specifically saying, I want the neder to be chal. Right? So then once he says that, yes, that's a good idea, and he says, yes, it's a good neder, that neder is chal, there's nothing you can do about it. That's like any other neder. It's no different than a real neder. It is a neder. But the second thing that we're going to learn is that a father or a husband, if he doesn't respond to make it not a neder, by definition, if within 24 hours he doesn't say it's not a neder, then the neder also is deemed that is he approved it. Okay, we'll call deemed approval. So that becomes a kiyum also. So when the Mishnah over here says the answer chloimer shekayim echad mehem, if one of them made, it could really mean these words in the Mishnah could really mean refer to either one of those kiyum, meaning either one of either the father's or the husband said expressly, I want this neder b'chal, or the virtue of the fact that he heard the neder and didn't complain about it, so then, by default, it becomes a good neder as well. In any event, that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah seems to repeat itself multiple times. The story is that the neder may have existed until now, but now I'm saying, going forward, it's not going to be a good neder anymore. As opposed to mutar, when you use the word mutar, what is undoing it, meaning that it was never a neder in the first place, as if the neder never existed. Okay, so that's mutter, like, it's mutter. If it's mutter, then there's nothing usser about it, and it's undone. So if it's undone, it's as if from the beginning, it was never really a neder in the first place.
Amazing.
Jumping now into the Gemara. The Gemara right away asks the obvious question. Hainu reisha, it is the same thing as the reisha, because the point of the reisha is that you need both the father and the husband. And then the next point in the reisha is that one without the other doesn't work. Well, I just said that. If I need both, then obviously one without the other doesn't work. So we seem to be saying the same thing twice. Avio ubalo mefir nidareho, because it already said that the Gemara is just spelling it out, that the father and the husband need to be mefir in order for the neder to be undone. To which the Gemara says, no, there is a difference. Mao de tema oi avio oi balo katani. I might have read this Mishnah, even though it does says the husband and the father, I would have understood it if it just said that line. I would have said that both of them have the right, but they don't necessarily need one another in order to make the neder. Kamash Malon, that's why I need to say it very clearly in the Mishnah, that is, no, they do need each other, and one without the other is not a hafara at all. Just to illustrate the point, to understand what the Havamina of the Gemara is, because it does say, Avia Ubala, it does say both. But there are many places, many Mishnayos in Shas that you're familiar with, that even though it says the Vav, which we translate in English as and, it could mean or. I'll give you the classic example. We have Grusho Chalutza. Grusha Chalutza. In Yevamos, we had many Mishnayos with Grusha and Chalutza. Now, we don't mean she's both a Grusha and a Chalutza, because those two don't necessarily go hand in hand. It's one or the other, that the same halacha would apply to one to one or the other, to Gerusha or Chalutza, even though it says Gerusha uChalutza, even though it says the Vav to connect the two. So again, I'm just using that as an example, but there are many, many examples like this in Shas, where the Mishnah uses the Vav connecting, but it doesn't mean that all of the things have to happen. It means one or the other could have happened. So therefore, there's a very easy way to read this Mishnah incorrectly, to say that it meant or, to which the Mishnah therefore had to clarify that it meant both. Of course, the Ran himself asks, so why don't we just solve this problem by just saying Shnehem? We just use the word Shnehem. Baal u, just say, Avia u Baal Shnehem Mefirin. And then you solve that problem, that it's clear that you need both. So the Ran has a very interesting Habamina based on a Gemara, which again we'll get to. With the Gemara is going to say that even when we need both of them, that could be, as you'll see on the bottom of Amud Beis today, that there could be situations where one of them is not strong enough and needs the other one also to be mefer, but the other, like, in other words, A is not strong enough without B, but B may be strong enough independently. B may have enough power on its own. So if I said both of them, if I said Shneim, I would think that's only referring to, let's say, for example, the father. That the father needs the other, needs the husband. But that doesn't necessarily prove that the other way around is also true, that the husband needs the father. Anyway, so therefore that's how the Ran says, that's why just adding the word Shneim wouldn't have helped. And back to the original teretz of the Gemara. So therefore, just by saying Bala Uviya, could have been misconstrued or misunderstood to mean either. That's why the Mishnah has to spell it out and say, no, it's without the other one, it doesn't work. Whichever way you go, without the other one, it's not going to work. Fine. That's the first line in the Gemara. Then the Gemara quotes the last line of the Mishnah. And of course, we don't even have to discuss if one of them already fulfills the neder and says they want the neder to be chal. Now, once again, this sounds like it's the same halacha, it's just re-emphasizing the same point, because if you need both of them, clearly one of them said, I'm out, I'm opting out, and I want this neder to be chal, then you don't have both of them. So of course the neder is not going to be chal. So right away the Gemara asks, Loma li lemisne, why would you have to say this halacha also? Hashto yesh loimer, hefer zebeloi, zebeloi klum. Once we already told you that with once makes the hafara. Without the other one, it's not enough. Kayim echad mehen lomali. So why would you need to tell me if one of them fulfills the nether? Obviously, he hasn't been mefer. If he's fulfilling, he's not mefer. And we already said once you're not mefer, the nether is not chal. Okay, now to read this Gemara, you'll see the Gemara says tzrich lemisni, which is also tzrich lemisni. So it sounds like the Gemara is asking the question twice. So it happens to be very interesting that the Hagoyis Habach and the Ran have two different girsois in the Gemara. They both get to the same place, but the Hagoyis Habach's girsa is the way I read it, which is Echonhem Lomali. What do I need this other case for? It becomes obvious. The Ran takes out, and then the Hagoyis Habach takes out the word Tzricha Lemisni. The Ran does just the opposite. He takes out the words Lomali and reads it as Kaimah Tzricha Lemisni. You have to tell me that. So again, it's the same. The question is Be'erich the same. It's the same question. What do I need if I'm missing? If I'm lacking a hafara, the nether is good. So certainly when I say the nether should be good, the nether is going to be good. The question is essentially the same. Therefore, the Gemara continues and answers. Ki itzur, so what do we need this case for? What's the chiddush of this line in the Mishnah? Ki itzur chlei, what we need to tell us is, ki goin dehefer echad mehen, v'kayim echad mehen, v'kayim echad. What happened was, the story was like this. That one of them went ahead and said, okay, not a good neder, a mefer, fine. And the second one said, no, I want it to be a neder. But then, the chozer ha-mekayim v'nishol al ha-kamosoy. And then the one who said, I want it to be a neder, realized, ooh, that was a mistake. I don't really want it to be a neder. So he went to a rov, because it's too late now. He can't be mefer anymore, it's too late. So he went to a rov and asks to go back on the fulfillment of the neder. So now, so to speak, he's back to square one. So now if he's back to square one, so the question is, okay, Are we literally back to square one? Could we be mefer? So ma'u detema ma'i de'uke ha'akre. You might think that what he said, my hakama, is a good hakama. I got rid of that. I uprooted what I said is a good hakama. Therefore, I would think that I don't have to even be mefer anymore because everything is undone. Kamash malon, that's why the Mishnah has to teach us there is a chiddush over here. D'mefir in shneem b'vasachas. Now the word b'vasachas, again, depending on the rishon you learn, is, but the point is that they have to go back and be mefer again. Or that in order for the neder generally to work, you need both of them to be mefer. Once you stick in a hakama, it doesn't work anymore. Now, what I just did was I made it a little bit more confusing because I just said two pshatim that the Ran brings. The Ran brings the Ramban, and he brings the Rambam. The Ramban learns the way the Gemara, again, so the Ran brings both of these, so we'll explain both of these in the Gemara. The Ramban learns that the point of the Gemara is that once I was Mekayim it, once the second one was Mekayim it, he messes up the Hafara, so that the Hafara doesn't work anymore. The original Hafara doesn't work anymore. But now that I got rid of my Kiyum, so that I do start over literally from square one, and now if they want to be mefer, both of them have to be mefer. But the chiddush is, and that's what the Mishnah, and that's what the Gemara means when it says shnei mefirim bevasachas. Then what we would do is we would go back, and if both of us now are mefer, then fine. Then both of us are mefer, and it's going to be a good hafara. That's the way the Ramban learns. However, the Rambam learns that no, it doesn't work. That yes, it's true that I could undo my hafara. However, it's too late. It's too late. Once I can undo my hafara, so I would have thought that since I undid my hafara, I go back to square one and I could be mefer. No, now it's too late. I cannot be mefer. I cannot, even if I go back together and be mefer, it's not going to work at all. Okay? That would be the chiddush of the Mishnah. So it comes out really a totally different halacha. According to the Ramban, you gotta just start over again, but then if both of them are mefer, they could be. You can go back and be mefer. According to the Rambam, once one of them is mekayim, the Rambam learns the words of the Mishnah much more literally, and says, once one of them is mekayim, even if he undoes his hakama, and you would think you go back to ground zero, it's nothing, so you should be able to be mefer, the Rambam says, nope. We're not going to be able to be mefer. You lost that opportunity, and now you can't be mefer anymore. Okay, so that's the way the Rambam learns. So then, the Ran asks Akasha on the Rambam, and he asks, I don't understand. If you went to a Rav and said, okay, my Hakama is nothing, why doesn't it go back to square one? Why doesn't it go back to, like, literally as if nothing happened? For example, and the Ram brings a very interesting example. Let's say a guy says, I would marry this girl, but I can't because she has nedarim. And she goes to a Rav, and she's matir all the nedarim, so she doesn't have anything left. So the halacha is they are married. They can get married now. Because it's as if the nedarim, once I go to a Rav and I'm matir all the nedarim, it's as if I don't have any nedarim. It goes back, limafrei, as we explained, that nothing happened. That as if they never existed. So the Ran asked the Kasha on the Rambam, the same way in that case when I'm matir something, it's as if it never existed in the first place. So why don't we say the same thing over here also? Once the one who is Makayim gets rid of his Kiyam, and it's nothing, so we would think that you should be back to ground zero. Why can't I start over again? So the answer that the Ran gives is because since the first one already gave his hafara, and that hafara was never, nothing ever was dealt with, nothing changed with that hafara, but that hafara became a no good hafara, so now you're stuck in limbo. Because he can't do hafara again, because he already gave a hafara. But the problem is that hafara was not a good hafara. So now you're left with nothing. You're left with a not good hafara. So that's why, even if I go back and I undo the kiyum, but that kiyum in the first place messed up the hafara, so that I cannot, that first person can never do the mefer again. Okay, so that's, and all of that is all. So according to the Rambam, the Bas Achas business is lav dafka. And he says that b'feirush. He says that the Bas Achas is lav dafka. So according to the way the Rambam learns, if only, if anything, what he meant was originally, if I did it correctly in the first place, so then Enachanami, so then it would have worked if we would have done a Bevas Achas. Okay, just as an aside, there's also a Machlekes Rishonim, even according to the Ramban, that says you could redo this, you could start over again, and you could, okay, now that I got rid of my Akiyum, I can go back and both of us could be Mefer. According to most Mefarshim, this is only talking about if all of this happened within the same day. In other words, because I'm still in a position to be Mefer. Interesting point, right? I'm still in a position to be Mefer. And therefore, all of this had to happen. The husband was Mefer, the Baal was Mefer, then the father was Mefer, and then he went on, or the Baal, excuse me, the father was Mekayim, then the father got rid of the Kiyim, then they were Mefer again. All of this has to be within the time frame that you're still allowed to be Mefer. Now, not all Mefarshim agree with that statement, and some say, once I'm starting over, I can start over again. However, as an interesting point, there are those that say all of this had to happen within the period of time, within the 24 hours that I could be Mekayim. Okay, that's a side point. Alright, but the bottom line is like this. The bottom line is that the Gemara over here is being Mechadish. The Gemara is being Mechadish that if there's a Kiyum in the middle, that Kiyum messes up the first Tafara. Okay? According to the Ramban. Now we're going to start, the next line of the Gemara is going to be a whole Cheshbin of how really this relates much more into the Psukim of how we get to the point that the Mishnah is saying. And each line of the Gemara makes sense. It's all part of a cheshbon of the whole, to get back to the main point. So now the Gemara quotes the first line of the Mishnah, but this is the general idea of a Naira Amarasa Aviyu Baal Mefina Derehar. Okay, now that we know what those words mean that you need both the father and the husband when she is engaged. If you have a young girl who's engaged, you need both the father and the husband to be Mefer in order for the Hafara to work. So, the Gemara asks a very classic question, Minolan, how do we know that this is true? The Mishnah makes a very strong statement, but how do we know that that is the halacha? But that is, in fact, the way it works. So, Omar Rabba. So, Rabba says, let me explain to you. It's a whole cheshbon. Omar Kro. Because the Pasuk says, V'im, that Vav is very important, V'im hayu siya le'ish, if she is with a husband, unidarea alea, and she has a neder. Okay, so that's the pasuk, and then the pasuk continues. That the pasuk continues. Where is the pasuk? The pasuk vavim hayasi leish unadareh aleha. It says the next pasuk is that the husband hears it and he's mefer. Okay, so now. Well, now that we know that that's the pasuk, mikan the Gemara darshins mikan lenayir marasa shavir ubal mefir nederel. Okay, so this is a statement. We don't know how the Gemara knows this, but the Gemara says from here we see, since we're talking about that she now got engaged and the husband is able to be mefer. Oh, so if the husband is able to be mefer, the Gemara interprets that to mean it means the husband and the father are able to be mefer. Okay, fine. So that is lemaisa. That is the pasuk. That, in other words, this is, even though we're gonna try to take this apart now, that is really the conclusion. This pasuk is really, in fact, talking about this case where she gets engaged, and that's the halacha that both the father and the husband are able to be made for. But the Gemara is going to say, but there's other ways to read this pasuk. How do you know to get to that conclusion? So the Gemara now goes through the points. Ema haikra b'nesuaksin. It says that she's with her husband. So maybe this pasuk is really talking about she's literally married. How do you know we're talking about engaged? And then if that would be the case, then it would be only the husband. Imishum nesua, so the Gemara says no. Because if the point of the pasuk was to teach us that she's married, kra'achrinaksiv, we have a different pasuk later in the parsha. It says, v'embesi shah nidara. That's, right, as the Gemara says, v'embesi shah nidara. Nadara, that if she made a neder when she's already in her husband's house. So we have a pasuk. It's later, it's three psukim, four psukim later in the parsha that talks about when she's already married. Okay? So that takes care of marriage. So it must be that this pasuk is talking about when she's only engaged. So the Gemara says no. maybe Eimer Tarbaya Minasua. You're right, I'm not going to disagree. The Pasuk later is clearly talking about she's married, but maybe this Pasuk is also talking about when she's married. What's wrong with having two Pasukim? So if you'll ask me, okay, yeah, exactly, why do I need two Pasukim that talk about the same case, that she's already married? Lemaimer, I'll tell you, there could be a Chiddush in having them, two cases. Why? Lemaimer to teach us, She'ein Habal Mefer Bekoidmin. The point of the second Pasuk was to tell us that he cannot be Mefer on anything that she brings into the marriage. Koidmin is a very simple concept. Obviously, as we just said, let's just say for simplicity's sake, let's keep a katana out of it. We said that a naira is from the age of 12 to 12 and a half. Now, she doesn't necessarily get married on the day of her birthday that she's 12. She may get married 3 months later. So, again, without getting into a katana, she could have made the nether when she was 12 years old. So there's no question that that's a valid, good nether. And now she's married, and she's still going to be a naira for the next 3 months. So the question is, can the husband, the new husband, or just engaged in this case, can the new, oh no, 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 the Gemara wants to suggest that in the case of marriage, can the husband be mefer the nether that she made a month ago, before they got married? And that would be the chiddush of the pasuk, that he could. That would be the point of having two psukim to talk about when they're married. She'ain about, no, excuse me, actually the other way. She'ain about mefer bin koidmin. The point of the pasuk would be to tell us that he can only be mater those nedarim that he would have heard of nedarim that she made after they're married. And the second pasuk would be teaching us that even those nedarim that he made beforehand do not count. So now on the top of Samach Zayin Mabez, the Gemara says, V'lav memeil shamas mino. Again, that's the girsa that the Mefarish has, the Ran has a slightly different girsa, that memeil shamas mino. We would know that. We would know that if we had one pasuk to tell us that he can only be made for nedarim, in other words, if we would rewrite this parsha and we only had one, if you think the whole point is just to tell us bekoidmin, let's say we only had one pasuk to talk about when she was married, that pasuk would tell us that until she was married, she was in the father's rishus, and after she's married, she's in the husband's rishus. And the husband's only in charge of those nedarim that come up when it's in his rishus. So we would know that he cannot be mater or mefer, a neder that happened before they got married. Okay, so if that's true, because if he has the power by himself, if the father had the, if, in other words, if you're removing the concept of being engaged, that's what we want to say right now. We want to remove the concept that there's a special level of when she's engaged. And we want to say, no, everything is talking about when she's married. She was either not married or yeah married. There's no such thing as engaged, right? We want to remove that pasuk. That's what we're suggesting at this stage in the Gemara. By saying both pasukim are talking about marriage, we're removing the concept of engaged. So if we're removing the concept of engaged, we would automatically know that koidmin don't work. Because before she got married, she was in her father's rishus. And after she's married, she's in her husband's rishus. So the husband can't do what the father was going to do, and the father can't do what the husband's going to do. That would be what the point of the pasuk is. So we wouldn't need a second pasuk to tell us just that the koidmin doesn't work. So therefore, that's the Gemara's teretz. That's the Gemara's teretz, that it cannot be that both psukim are talking about married, because then it wouldn't be teaching us anything. Because even what you think it would be teaching us, we would already know. So memela, the pasuk has to be talking about engaged. And once we're talking about engaged, now the chiddush of the pasuk would be that the father also has the rights to be mefer, or that you could say it the other way around, that the husband also has the rights to be mefer. Okay, that's the first teretz of the Gemara. Iba Yisema. Now the Gemara gives the second teretz. The Havaya Kedushin Mashma. Because the Pasuk again says, V'im Hoya Siya La'ish. That's the words of the Pasuk. That's the Pasuk that we're trying to explain. Now Havaya is only Kedushin. And if it's only Kedushin, the Pasuk itself is referring to a Kedushin situation, not a Nisuin Kedushin, not a Nisuin situation. Okay, so the pasuk, so that's the simplest way to see things. The pasuk itself is very clear that it's talking about they're just engaged, and therefore it's talking about both. But fine, now that we've established that that's the situation that it's talking about engaged, ema av lichuda mefer. So how do you know? Because it just says, right, it says b'shama yishama mefer. So how do we know that? How do we know the Gemara is going to say going to answer this question very simply, but how do we know that that, if there, okay, so the pasuk talking about engaged, how do we know that it's not just the father, ema avluchu de mefer, maybe it's just the father being mefer, im kain, so the pasuk says, va osra iser beis avia yani aisa lomali. Okay, so you have to read the whole explanation. The pasuk says that if she makes a neder, okay, without literally translating the words here, but if she makes a neder while she's still in her father's house, he gets to be mefer. And now, that's an accepted, that's a pasuk, that when she makes a neder in her father's house, the father's able to be mefer. Now, why would I need that pasuk? If you're telling me that this pasuk of Imhayasi is talking about she's engaged, and only the father is able to be mefer, so hashta yesh loimar b'mokim arus mefer av l'chudei. Now, because you're telling me that this pasuk is telling me when she's engaged, and only the father is able to be mefer. So if you're telling me that once she's engaged, the father is the only one who could be mefer, shaloi b'mokim arus me boy. So then why would I need a pasuk to tell us that before she's engaged, only the father is able to be mefer? That's kind of obvious. If she's already engaged and she's 1 foot out the door, you're telling me still it's only the father is able to be mefer. So before she gets engaged, where she's completely in the father's house, certainly the father is able to be mefer. So why would I need a pasuk for that? Elamai, so the Gemara says, it must, so can't possibly mean that pasuk can't be telling us halacha that only the father is being mefer. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's try one more. Ema avli boy arus, v'arus l'chudei mefer. Okay. Fine, I agree. There is a concept that both the father and the husband, the engaged husband, or the chassin, let's call him, the chassin, are able to be mefer. But maybe that's only talking about that the father relinquishes his right. As we said, she's one step out the door. So she's one step out the door and you need the father, so the father can be mefer. But maybe but she's also halfway in her husband's house, so the husband has to be mefer. But that's true. But maybe the other way is also true. Maybe the husband, if he takes the reins and he's made for her on his own, maybe that should work. Maybe that's all the pasuk is coming to tell us, that the husband now can do it on his own. The father definitely needs the husband, the chassan's help. But maybe the chassan can do things on himself. So that's the Gemara's suggestion. That's the Gemara's question. V'chi teimo. And if you'll ask me, av de kasav rachmana lomali. And then I'll tell you, so then if the chassan could do everything on his own, so then what do I need the father for at all? What would be the point of the father doing? I'll tell you. Mi boyle, I'll tell you what the father could do. Di hekim make it. Di hekim make it. I'll tell you what the father could do. The father has enough power to, so to speak, mess up the chassan. That it's true the chassan could be mefer on his own. And if he went ahead and he immediately was mefer, that's it, the nether is gone. However, but if before the chassan got a chance to do anything, the father already said, yes, you're keeping this nether. I'm going to make you do this. So then, maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. You're right, I don't need the father, but the father maybe still has enough, you know, hands in the cookie jar that he's able to fulfill the nether. And maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. So the Gemara answers, no. Im kain, beis isha nidara, right, the pasuk says, vishama isha, the next pasuk, in base isha nadara, have to pronounce it correctly. The pasuk that says im kain base isha nadara l'may kosev. Why do we need that pasuk that the husband is able to make nadarim on his to be mefer on his own after they're married? Why not? I'll tell you why I don't need that pasuk. Because it becomes obvious. Uma b'makim av. When the father was still around, meaning when they're engaged, oris mefer luchudei, the oris the chassan himself is able to be mefer luchudei shaloi b'makim av miboi. So when the father's not around, certainly the husband is able to be mefer. So why would I need the second pasuk? You understand? Now that we're saying that even when they're already engaged, now that you're telling me when they're already engaged, the husband theoretically could do it on his own. The only thing the father could do is he can get involved because she Lamaisa is not married yet. So then obviously once they get married and the father's not involved anymore, I don't need a pasuk to tell us that the husband's able to do it on his own. He was always able to do it on his own. The only thing the power the father had was his connection to the fact that she was only engaged. Now that she's not engaged anymore, the father is clearly out of the father's house. So I wouldn't need that pasuk. So therefore, and since we have that pasuk, it must be no. that it's not true. I need the pasuk. There's a unique situation when they're married, and it's different and unique when they're engaged. And the uniqueness of being engaged is a different halacha, that you need both the father and the husband equally in order to be married. Then the Gemara says, Emo, im beis isha nadara, let's say this pasuk of beis isha nadara, loimar, because you're telling me right now that this pasuk becomes obsolete. If the husband was able to do it on his own, even when they're engaged, so the, when they're married, obviously he's able to do it on their own. So that pasuk was obsolete. No, I'll tell you what that pasuk would tell us. Ema im beis isha nadara loimar she'ena bal mefer b'koydmin. Let's go back to that other halacha. The second pasuk would be telling us that you're right. We don't need it to tell us that the husband is able to be mefer on his own. That part of the halacha we know. But maybe it's coming to tell us a separate thing, that he cannot, that's true, he can do it on his own, but only those nadarim that happened while he's in charge. But not those nadarim that would have happened theoretically before he became in charge. Maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us, to exclude those nadarim that happened before they're in charge. Umina, and we would learn also the fact that he can do it on his own. So he says, okay, right, and also that would be true, and we would learn it from the fact that the husband is able to be made for the nadarim, that he was able to be made for when they were engaged. Meaning, the idea of koydmin would not be a problem while they're engaged. The idea of koydmin would only be a problem when they're married. That's the way the Ran wants to learn the word of mina. Umina coming to tell us that this halacha is only true once they get married and the husband is completely and entirely on his own. He's completely and entirely on his own only in the context of being married. But when they're engaged, since for the father there is no concept of koydmin, because there's no such thing as before she's in her father's house, she's always in her father's house. Therefore, the husband also shouldn't have a problem with koydmin. So maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us, that koydmin only applies when they get married. The Gemara answers, finally, the Gemara at the bottom of the Yomit says, Orus mefer bekoydmin. Right, sorry, I stopped in the middle of the sentence. Loimer to tell she'ena bal mefer bekoydmin umino orus mefer bekoydmin. But when they're engaged, he could be mefer bekoydmin. Elalav, but why is that true? But even if that's true, elalav mishum shutfestav. The only reason that would be true, that the husband would be able to be mefer for koydmin, was because that he's doing it together with the father, like I explained. Because the father, the concept of koydmin doesn't apply to the father. It's no such thing. You think about it logically. There can't be a neder that she made before she was in her father's house. She grew up in her father's house. There was no before. She grew up, and therefore there's no koydmin for the father. That's what allows the orus to be mefer on koydmin. So if that's true, once again, you're reestablishing the fact that the orus only works because of the father. Which means that you're proving to me once again that you need both the father and the husband to be mefer. Now, if that's the point that you're coming to tell us, that means that you need the pasuk to tell us that point. Meaning both things could be true. That you're coming to tell us that both the father and the husband can be mefer together. They can be mefer together. That's fine, but that would only apply when they're engaged. And then when they're married, when he's doing it on his own, and it could also still be true that he can do it on his own when they're married, which makes sense, because the father's no longer involved, and it could also be true that he can't be made for on koydmin. So it comes out that, according to this, it actually works out exactly the way we want it to work out. The only chiddush we added here is that when they're engaged, koydmin are not a problem for the aris. That's the extra halacha that we'd be learning out. But we'd only know that because both the aris, meaning the chasen, and the father are able to be mefer, and there's no such thing as koydmin for the father, and he could be mefer, so if he could be mefer, the chasen could also be mefer. So, but certainly the concept of once they're married, the koydmin would apply over there. So in conclusion, we have two ways of arriving at the same point. Again, the original question is, how do you know both the father and the husband are able to be mefer when they're engaged? Which is the halacha that the Mishnah was teaching us. How do we know that's true? So either because the pasuk just the straightforward to have the pasuk is talking about when they're engaged. And if you tell me that the first pasuk is talking about when they're married, then it wouldn't be teaching us a chiddush. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. First teretz of the Gemara is it can't have two pasukim talking about married, because the only chiddush of koydmin, but when they're married, it's not a chiddush anymore. I would know that because it doesn't make sense to have the concept of koydmin apply when they're married, because the pasuk clearly says. The pasuk says, "In beishi shor nadara." She only made the neder, only those nadara that she made when she was in the husband's house. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Second teretz of the Gemara is no. It's not because it can't be talking about they're married. It's because the pasuk is clearly talking about when they're engaged. And then if you go through the cheshbon of maybe it means just the father, or maybe it just means the husband has more power, all those cases don't work out. Again, that's the whole Amud Beis. Says that cheshbon doesn't work because you wouldn't be telling me anything except to teach us, if anything, to teach us that the koydmin doesn't apply when they're married, but it would apply when they're engaged. Oh, so if it would apply when they're engaged, why does it apply? Because the father is part of the situation. So you're telling me, you're saying it in a roundabout way, but you're getting to the same conclusion that you need the husband and the father can be made for her neder, even koydmin, because the father is able to do it. So you see clearly that both the husband and the father are involved while she is only engaged. And that takes us to the end of the Amud, and we'll stop over here.